Greetings and welcome to another edition of the iPod Technocast. My name is Larry Lewis, president of Flying Blind LLC, and I'm very glad that you could join us today to talk about a very exciting product that has been in the make for quite some time and actually began shipping a couple of months ago. The product is called the Alva Braille Controller, and it's a product that is manufactured by Optelec, a company based in the Netherlands. For those of you who know me quite well, you know that I'm always excited by the prospects of new wireless Braille technology and also new mobile types of technology that gives us some different options as it relates to portable information management. And I'm very excited by what this product has to offer. For those of you who have been around the industry for quite some time, the word Alva should be no stranger to you. Alva is a company that is synonymous with excellence as it relates to refreshable Braille terminals and so forth. And in fact, in the early to mid-90s, I became fairly familiar with the Alva product line, with the Alva 2 series Braille displays that were out at the time that provided really great access to DOS and subsequently Windows. Since that time, Alva has undergone lots of different changes and so forth, and a couple of years ago became part of the Optelec group back in the fall of 2005. Once that happened, Alva and Optelec embarked upon their sixth generation of Braille display called the Alva Braille Controller 640. It's called the 640 because it is the sixth generation of Alva Braille terminal, and we are dealing with a 40-cell unit today. And this product does lots of very interesting things. It offers to us lots of different Braille input and output options, working with many different types of devices. And it, in summary, to really summarize what the product offers to us, the end users, it offers us some modular approaches to note-taking as we may know it. And many of you have heard me speak about wireless Braille displays and mobile technology and cellular phones and the advent of this sort of paradigm beginning to catch up and in some respects supersede what we think of when we think of traditional Braille-oriented PDAs. I think that the Alva Braille Controller has enough feature-rich possibilities in place to make that a reality. And I'm going to be sharing lots of different functionalities with you. What I'll be doing is I'll be giving you a physical description of the Alva Braille Controller. We should also, at this point, by the time you're listening to the iPod Technocast, if you have any vision, we should have a picture of that up on the website as well, so you'll also be able to view the product as well as spec sheets and some other things like that. I'll be giving you the once-over, what it looks like, what it feels like. I'll also be talking to you about some of the internal functionality of the Alva Braille Controller. We'll then shift to using the Alva Braille Controller with a MobileSpeak-equipped PDA or cellular phone, and we'll take a look at how that works. We'll take a look at how the Alva Braille Controller can interact with a PC without any sort of screen reader loaded, and that's a very interesting concept that I want to focus on. And then we'll wrap the podcast by showing you some traditional access with the Alva Braille Controller and a PC. So we have a lot to cover, and so we should get started. What I have in my lap is the Alva Braille Controller. It is traditional Alva purple, and kind of falls within the scope of how a lot of the other Alva products look like. Let's start along the front edge of the product. What many of you know who are familiar with Alva, they were really the first company to bring to the forefront of this industry the importance of thumb keys and having keys along the front of your Braille device so that your hands just drop automatically, your thumbs just drop into a position where they're able to push on these thumb keys to navigate your through applications up, down, left, and right, and so forth. And from my perspective, and what really drew me to the Alva back in the 90s, all the way back to the Alva 2, when I became introduced to the product line, is the, you know, it really makes sense to have that sort of thumb key access versus reaching all over and hitting switches and buttons all over the display. If your thumbs are on in front of you and your hands are on the Braille display, you're able to minimize your hand movement from the Braille display and maximize your productivity. And that's been an ongoing philosophy that Alva has upheld through the years. If we travel along, we move above the front edge to the front top of the display, we have a group of keys. The center part of this group of keys would be a five-way navigational joystick where we have an up button, a left button, a down button, and a right button, and then a center button for an enter key. And then on either side of those, the side of that joystick, we have two additional keys on either side. When this product was spec'd, PDA phones and handheld PDAs were just becoming accessible thanks to the work of our friends at Code Factory in Spain, creating Mobile Speak Pocket and so forth. And these keys were specifically designed to interact with PDA keys so that a user could interact by connecting their Braille display wirelessly to their PDA and not having to touch their PDA to hit any of those keys. And that'll make sense when we fire up one of our PDAs here. It's called a Smart Pad because it allows for smart type access to a Windows mobile device. When we move forward beyond, again, traveling along the top of the unit, we have a row of 40 touch cursors. For those of you who are not familiar with a touch cursor, it's a little switch, and there are 40 of them that correspond below each of the Braille cells on our Braille display, and they can serve a couple of different purposes. If I push the button down once, I'm going to click on a menu or route my cursor, much like a left mouse click if I'm using a PC. Or if I hold this down for an extended period of time, like a couple of seconds, I'll be able to double click or perform a different sort of action. And that's a functionality that was patented by Alva that Optilec was able to acquire when it purchased the assets of Alva, that double routing cursor functionality. So we actually have one button that could do a couple of different types of things here. Now, our touch cursors on this device are actually below the Braille display. Traditionally, they would be above the Braille display on most Braille displays. This was designed this way to save space, first and foremost. We'll talk about the space, the dimensions of the unit in just a minute. But it also is quite nice, and I've gotten very used to being able to use this device, reach down, click my touch cursor, and things happen. My cursor moves versus reaching up and then having to come back down to my Braille display. So it's quite ingenious how this was designed because, from my perspective, it makes a little bit more sense now, having used Braille displays with touch cursors in different locations, to have these along the bottom. At either end of the Braille display, so by cell 1 and cell 4, we have two vertical keys, which we call e-touch navigation keys, on either end of the display. And those can be used to scroll up or down, left and right, depending on the application, primarily up and down for quick scrolling if you wanted just to use a finger on either end of the display versus jumping down to your thumb keys. That would be the essence of the Alva base unit. However, what we want to focus on a little bit more, especially in English-speaking countries, is the advent of the feature pack. The Alva feature pack mounts onto the back of this base unit and adds about another inch or so to the, from front to back, the dimensions of the product. And the feature pack is a Braille input keyboard with speakers on either end of the Braille display, or of the Braille keyboard, I should say. And what's interesting about this is this feature pack gives you the ability to enter Braille to specific devices. Obviously, you have the Braille output on your Braille display, and you can also route your audio through this device and use the Bluetooth speakers on this device to really have a very modular Braille input-output, speech-output experience. So I feel that with how prevalent note takers are, especially in the United States and the UK and Australia and New Zealand and Canada, this feature pack is a real important thing. It's important in Europe as well, But in continental Europe, a lot of times you're dealing with lots of laptops and braille displays anyway, and maybe less of an emphasis on note takers that you might have with your traditional Braillite, braille note type mindset that you would have in English-speaking countries. So let's talk about the braille keyboard. We can start with our space bar, which is in the center. A little bit lower than the keyboard. And then we have dots 1, 2, and 3 on the left, with dot 7 for people who write 8-dot computer braille, and then 4, 5, and 6 on the right, and dot 8. On either end of the braille keyboard, we have on the right a simulated alt key, and we have on the left a simulated control key, and that makes a lot of sense when you use this as a braille keyboard with a PC, that's for sure. Above your space bar, we have two keys, both a Windows Start key and an Enter key, and they can perform other functions with other devices. Very quickly, on the right edge, we have a volume button at the far back right edge, and then we have an on-off button. The volume button can also be pushed in to mute or unmute the speech if you have speech on and you want to turn that off. If we move to our left edge, starting from the back, we have earphone jack, microphone jack, USB port, and a battery charger. I neglected to mention the dimensions of the Alva Braille controller. With the feature pack, we're dealing with about 4 and 4.5 inches from front to back, and about 13 inches in length, and about a half inch deep as far as its height. So it's for all of the functionality that it has to offer, and we'll be getting into that, it is quite portable and has a lot of stuff jammed in here. Let's talk a little bit about what's inside of the Alva Braille controller. As I indicated, the Alva Braille controller is a little bit more than just a traditional Braille display. We have our feature pack. You can order the unit with or without the feature pack. Without the feature pack, you have a really great USB Bluetooth Braille display. But you also have the ability, when you connect your Braille display to a USB cord to a PC, it also serves as a thumb drive or a USB drive, approximately 2 gigs, where you can actually, through My Computer or Windows Explorer, actually store files on the Alva Explorer. And when you take it to another PC, you could access those files and so forth. You have another 4 megs of memory in your feature pack for some basic note-taking functionality, and also to run an application called Alva Explorer, which I'll be demonstrating a little bit later on in the podcast. So you have Braille input, Braille output, speech output through the Bluetooth speakers. You also have the ability to treat this like a U3 smart drive, where you have your memory capabilities, and your keyboard is seen as a U3, as a keyboard that's just part of Windows when you're connected. I can actually control my computer with my Alva keyboard without even having a screen reader or any sort of Braille display drivers loaded. There's just a pass-through to the keyboard. So you're beginning to see the modularity, the flexibility of this product, and how it can be catered to meet your note-taking needs or your portable laptop or desktop needs. And we'll get into how that works. We're going to turn the Alva on. And I'm going to bring this up closer to the mic so you can hear me turn it on. It's a very little beep, so that may not have picked up. But what I have on here is I have Alva Braille controller ready, and I have my date. It is 9/10/2008. You can also set your time accordingly within here. So it just automatically shows that. Very clever. The seconds always move. So I see 42, 43 seconds. It's amazing how many people are enamored by seconds changing on a Braille display. So I guess if you're in a rather boring meeting or what have you, you have something to occupy your time. But it is there, and you're able to tell your time and your date. And it does say Alva BC 640 ready. So we have that ready. Two specific commands that we can perform to give us some internal functionality. If I hit space with the letter M, which I'll do, I'm going to be presented with the Alva internal menus. And it helps if I hit the right keys, Braille M and space. And I have on my Braille display now, Bluetooth is one menu option, settings, audio, split point, and if I hit my thumb key, I'm scrolling, preferred interface, and then exit. So let's start at the beginning. If I click on Bluetooth, I am pretty much given all the different things that I can do as far as connecting Bluetooth. I have a Braille option, I have a keyboard option, I have a stereo or mono option for audio, and it just enables me, if I'm connected to a Bluetooth device and not everything is connected, let's say I've connected to the Alva to my PC and maybe the keyboard's not working, I could go into here and make sure that keyboard is highlighted. And if keyboard is not highlighted, I could click my routing cursor and highlight it and actually make sure that my keyboard is connected. So it's a very nice menu just to make sure that all the different components and all your different Bluetooth services work. Settings is a little bit more involved. I have my battery status. It says I'm at 100% not charging. I'm scrolling down with my joystick to go through my menus. I have a notes option, which I'm going to talk about momentarily. I have my date and time. I have my Bluetooth. I can set my Bluetooth to be discoverable and pairable. My Bluetooth is on, and I can change all these things by clicking my routing cursor under each menu options. My Bluetooth pin is 40. If I want to get more creative and change that, I could do that. Bluetooth name, right now it's just Alva Braille or BC640. I could name that Larry's Alva if I wanted to. I have sleep set to never because that's just how I am. You can set this so that the unit will go to sleep if you leave it on, just to save on batteries, as low as 30 seconds. Not that you'd ever want to do that, but you could have it go off every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You could set that here. Braille configuration to make sure the appropriate Braille tables are chosen. It's a little bit more advanced. Dot pressure is real important. It's set to 5 right now. The Alva Braille displays are noted for fairly sharp, pronounced Braille, which I like. There are some people out there who like a little bit more of a mushier feel to the Braille cell on their device. And so we can dial it down a bit all the way from 5 to 1 to make it a little more spongier and mushier, depending on what your preferences are. I don't understand why people don't like it all the way up to 5, but people have had different Braille displays over the years, and we try to simulate how those other displays might feel by allowing you to change your dot pressure. Status cells are not so much a big deal for most Windows users anymore when using a PC, but I can set status cells on this device. If you're programming, you still may use them to identify your pixel location and things like that on the screen, but it's not anything that I use. Split point is an interesting option that we have. Split point can allow you to divide your Braille display in half and have half of your Braille display showing what's on the screen of your PDA or your mobile phone and the other half showing what's on your PC. So that's a feature that we can enable and we can customize. We're probably not going to focus for time's sake on the split screen functionality today. And we can set where we want the split to occur. We can also turn key repeat on so that when we hit a key and hold it down, the action just repeats. We can also make sure that our second routing cursor functionality is in place. We have our default volume. We have sounds on. I have sounds on so that you might be able to hear a little bit of a beep when I hit a button. And then I have all of these keys set so that I can pretty much touch them and things will happen. I can set my time. I can set my date. I'm just blowing through some of these. Choose my time format depending on my country. Pick a different language. Let me start over. If we can pick a different language, and I have English selected. My preferred interface is Bluetooth. It doesn't mean that USB couldn't be used, but I could change that to be USB if I want it. And it gives my Bluetooth address, it gives my firmware update, hardware update, and there's also a firmware updater in here so that when new firmware comes out, we can actually update the unit. And we can restore factory defaults. Lastly, there's a test mode that I could go into and test all the buttons to make sure that they're working as well as all the Braille cells. And we are back to battery. So that is a rundown of the AlvaBro controller's internal menus. Now, I mentioned something to the effect of a notes application, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. If I hit space N, I don't have to go into my menu. Space N for notes will just open up a blank notepad for me. It's truly the equivalent of notepad on a PC. Our goal is to not compete with the note taker applications that are out there today on these proprietary note takers. We assume the role of pen and paper here with this notes application. And so I can write, you know, I'm just going to write in grade 2 Braille, my name is Larry, and I am happy that you are listening to this podcast, period. So I have this written, and what I can now do is press my Alt key, and I'm presented with something that looks, and it's across, going horizontally across the Braille display, File, it's a menu bar, File, Edit, Tools, Help, much like you would see in Windows. If I click on File, I'm going to be able to see things like New, Open, Save, Save As, Exit. Let's go ahead and click on, actually I don't want to do this yet. I'm going to escape out of this. I'm going to go to Exit. Before I save this, I'm going to cancel. It's asking me if I want to save. I'm going to go to cancel and get back into my file. It's very Windows-like, but the first thing that I want to do right now, I've written this in grade 2 Braille, and I can read it. Contracted Braille, I guess, is the correct terminology. I'm going to go up to Tools and click on Tools, and my first tool is Convert to Text. If I try to copy this file off of my computer and try to send it to somebody, it's going to be gibberish. It's not going to mean anything to them. So I'm going to convert this to standard text. I'm going to save this as a file. I'll just call it lewis.txt, and I'm going to press enter on that, and I've saved it. So now I can go up, I can exit, and I'm back to AlvaBro controller. Now what's happened is that saved that on my one of my Alva drives, memory drives, or memory sticks inside the Alva, and I can copy that through my computer to, you know, my PC. I could email some notes that I'd taken in a meeting to a friend. There are some other products out there that allow for some basic, there's only really one other product that's a Braille display that allows for that to happen, but it's so complex to use, and it uses a proprietary converter for getting that to your PC. This is standard Windows. You're going to see when I'm working with the PC later in the podcast, I can just bring this file over, copy the contents into an email, save the file, send the file as a file attachment. This application is what it is. It's a notepad. You're not going to have serious formatting, being able to print. It's not a note taker. It's a virtual pen and paper inside of your Braille display for those times when you might want to jot down a quick note and not have to be bothered with getting another piece of equipment out. So it's quite handy, quite functional, and very Windows-driven in its development. So we are going to shift gears a little bit. We've talked a bit about the Alva Braille controller's internal functionality, and now we're going to branch out and discuss how this works with a couple of different types of devices. What I have in my hand here is a MobileSpeak-equipped Windows mobile phone. I have a couple of different phones at my disposal that I use. I specifically wanted to use this phone because it has a touchscreen, and there's some very ingenious things that we can do with the Alva to actually access the touchscreen. So what I have here is my Alva in my lap, my Alva Braille controller in my lap. I have my Windows mobile phone in my right hand, and I actually have a set of speakers here because we're going to project the phone ultimately so that you folks can hear what's going on. The first thing that I'm going to do, I already have my Alva Braille controller paired with my MobileSpeak-equipped Windows mobile phone. I'm going to press Alt ScreenTap One. For those of you who are familiar with MobileSpeak Pocket, you know that this application takes advantage of the touchscreen and makes it accessible to those of us who are blind. So the first thing I'm going to do is enable a connection to my Braille display. And my Alva is going to connect. We should hear a little. It says Braille ready. It says Alva Braille controller. It's been connected. It says connect it. And it says Braille ready. The first thing that I want to check is I want to make sure that my keyboard is also connected. So I'm going to go back into my Bluetooth menu by hitting space with M and clicking on Bluetooth. I see Braille is highlighted. I see keyboard is not. So I'm going to click keyboard. And it says interface primary or secondary. We're going to make that our primary interface. And I see keyboard connected. So now I can actually use my Braille keyboard. The second thing that I want to do, now I could use this device. And I can do different types of things with this. I'm using my joystick. But to make it possible for you to hear this, I'm actually going to route my speech from my cell phone through my Alva, and it'll project through those speakers. I've actually got a little set of speakers here to make it a little more conducive for the podcast. But all I'm going to do is just hit the command to do that. And it would help if I turn my speakers on, which I will do.
Tap here to sign into Pocket MFM.
I'm going to just make this a little less muffled by turning it down on my Alva.
Tentative podcasting with MindVault, 3:15 p.m., 5:15 p.m., MindVault.
And so I'm working with the company who helps me out a lot with a lot of the great recordings that you hear, Melissa and the folks at MindVault Solutions. They're a company I do some work with. And that's my next appointment, which I'm currently at. It was tentative at the time I scheduled it, and it's happened today. So I'm happy that we're able to do that. And what you're hearing is my phone being projected through the Alva speakers. And this is what really turns my Alva Braille controller into something that looks and feels a little bit more like a traditional note taker. But you have the modularity and the upgradable intelligence of you know, an off-the-shelf PDA with a screen reader that makes that PDA accessible. So there's lots of different things I can do. I'm on my Today screen right now. And
no tasks. Device unlocked.
And so I'm able to view that. Now, I mentioned to you that I could actually take advantage of my touchscreen technology on my Braille display. If you remember those two buttons on either end of the Braille displays, they've been mapped specifically to the quadrants on my touchscreen on my phone. So from my Braille display, I can double-click my top quadrant one.
4:07 p.m. Wednesday, September 10th, 2008. Today, D.
And I've gone to my Start menu. And so I can press enter or click my joystick on my contacts and open that up. And I'm able to access all the different types of contacts that I have in whatever grade of Braille that I want. So it takes actually a little bit of time. So here we go. And it shows that today, Abbott George, poor George, he's at the top of my contacts for every demonstration that I do that's phone related. And it shows in Braille, he's one of 1,076 contacts that are on my phone. That's all synchronized from Outlook. If I want to press the letters D-I, I'll get down to my D-I's and my contacts.
Aaron.
And there's Aaron and Melissa.
Croft, Diane. Melissa.
If I want to click on Melissa's contact, I can open up her contact. And I'm going to drown out her mobile phone so it's not podcasted. And I can send her a text message. I could send her an email right here. And I can pretty much do all the types of things I would do in Pocket Outlook right from my Braille display. I could text message her. I could send her an email. I could edit her information. I would never delete her, but I could. I could do all different types of things with her contact details. You're hearing the speech. I'm reading this in my preferred grade of Braille. I could close this by double-clicking my bottom quadrant on the Braille display. And the point is for you not to remember all these commands, but it's that I'm able to do this. And I'm able to also accentuate using audio if that's something that I want to do in conjunction with Braille. We have a lot of people who use Braille, but who also use speech with their note takers.
Today screen, left soft calendar, right soft contact.
I can also go down, opening up my start menu again.
4:10 p.m. Wednesday, September 10th. 4:10 p.m. Wednesday, September 10th.
There we go.
Today,
and I can press F and go right to my file manager. And I can open up files.
File Explorer window, list, business, folder, left soft up, right soft, enter Q.
And I'm going to just scroll down here.
And
I've got all kinds of I've got all kinds of notes here.
Chickens may not crop. Dan Popkovich, 4-4. Crumpled, that's Trendman. Federal expense form 5/19/08 20.5.
I can open up this federal expense form if I want to keep track of it.
5/19/08 20.5K XLS.
I do a little bit of work for the federal government, and so I have an expense form on here. And so I can actually review this spreadsheet.
E19.
I'm going to just scroll up, and you'll have to bear with me because I'm a little more versed in
B15.
Doing this in Braille only. So I'm just scrolling up here. And the speech is not keeping up with the Braille, that's for sure.
Statement 9.
Here we go. And so I would be able to fill out these different coordinates here. I would be able to save that information by pressing my left or right soft keys.
Undo, unavailable, radio, unavailable, cut, copy, paste, edit, insert, sub, format, submenu, tools, submenu.
I can close that menu. And I can back out of this. I have access to all the different applications on my phone, from text messaging to email to internet browsing to accessing Pocket Word documents, Excel documents, things like that. I always like to say that these applications are small versions of what you would have on a desktop. I use this more for reviewing information, editing information. I'm not going to create, you know, crazy PowerPoint slides and stuff like that on my PDA. I might review them. Same with a complex spreadsheet, but I'm not going to create them. So I use my smaller applications more for review and editing purposes and do a lot of the sledgehammer type work of creating things on my PC. So it's just a very nice nice feature. Now, if I want,
today's screen, left soft calendar, right soft calendar,
I could take an internal note by pressing my space N and going into my notepad on my Alva if I wanted to jot something here, if I didn't want to take the time to open up Pocket Word or what have you. And then I can go back to File and go to Exit. And I am back to my today's screen.
Wednesday, September 10th.
So that, in a nutshell, is a snapshot of how Portable Access works on this, with the ability to flip back to the internal functionality on the Alva. So this brings us to the final portion of the podcast, where I would like to show you some very interesting ways that the Alva Braille controller can interact with a desktop or a laptop computer. Before I get into to this part of the demonstration, you should know that there are Alva Braille controller drivers built into the Macintosh screen reader, the Leopard screen reader that you can access off of the Macintosh. The drivers are just automatically built in. I have seen it and have played around with it. It's really my own rationale or whatever. I haven't really just done a lot with the Macintosh, so I can't answer any specific questions as to what it can or can't do. But from what I've seen, it's pretty responsive and it works fairly well. I have my laptop PC here, and One of the really great free utilities that comes with the Alva Braille controller is a product called Alva Explorer. Now, Alva Explorer is a utility that sits on the Alva device. And the idea for Alva Explorer, for those of you who are familiar with Narrator, you know, when you run Narrator from a PC that doesn't have any access or has limited access, it gives you some limited functionality to where you can do some things such as maybe copy some files, print a boarding pass, access a document, do some basic things. It's by no means a screen reader. But nevertheless, it's a very neat feature to have access to. So I'm just plugging, I'm going to turn my Alva on again. And I'm going to connect this to my computer's USB port. It says USB connected. I'm going to give it just a moment. And there's going to be a little wizard that pops up. What do you want to do with this device? Whenever you plug a USB device in or USB sticks, it gives you an option to play audio music, open and explore files, review pictures. Our first option is run Alva Explorer. So I'm going to do that. So this brings us to the final portion of the podcast, where I would like to show you some very interesting ways that the Alva Braille controller can interact with a desktop or a laptop computer. Before I get into to this part of the demonstration, you should know that there are Alva Braille controller drivers built into the Macintosh screen reader. The Leopard screen reader that you can access off of the Macintosh. The drivers are just automatically built in. I have seen it and have played around with it. It's really my own rationale or whatever. I haven't really just done a lot with the Macintosh, so I can't answer any specific questions as to what it can or can't do. But from what I've seen, it's pretty responsive and it works fairly well. I have my laptop PC here, and one of the really great free utilities that comes with the Alva Braille controller is a product called Alva Explorer. Now, Alva Explorer is a utility that sits on the Alva device. And the idea for Alva Explorer, for those of you who are familiar with Narrator, you know, when you run Narrator from a PC that doesn't have any access or has limited access, it gives you some limited functionality to where you can do some things such as maybe copy some files, print a boarding pass, access a document, do some basic things. It's by no means a screen reader. But nevertheless, it's a very neat feature to have access to. So I'm just plugging, I'm going to turn my Alva on again. And I'm going to connect this to my computer's USB port. It says USB connected. I'm going to give it just a moment. And there's going to be a little wizard that pops up. What do you want to do with this device? Whenever you plug a USB device in or USB sticks, it gives you an option to play audio music, open and explore files, review pictures. Our first option is run Alva Explorer. So I'm going to do that. So this brings us to the final portion of the podcast, where I would like to show you some very interesting ways that the Alva Braille controller can interact with a desktop or a laptop computer. Before I get into to this part of the demonstration, you should know that there are Alva Braille controller drivers built into the Macintosh screen reader. The Leopard screen reader that you can access off of the Macintosh. The drivers are just automatically built in. I have seen it and have played around with it. It's really my own rationale or whatever. I haven't really just done a lot with the Macintosh, so I can't answer any specific questions as to what it can or can't do. But from what I've seen, it's pretty responsive and it works fairly well. I have my laptop PC here, and one of the really great free utilities that comes with the Alva Braille controller is a product called Alva Explorer. Now, Alva Explorer is a utility that sits on the Alva device. And the idea for Alva Explorer, for those of you who are familiar with Narrator, When you run Narrator from a PC that doesn't have any access or has limited access, it gives you some limited functionality to where you can do some things such as maybe copy some files, print a boarding pass, access a document, do some basic things. It's by no means a screen reader, but nevertheless, it's a very neat feature to have access to. So I'm going to turn my Alva on again. And I'm going to connect this to my computer's USB port. It says USB connected. I'm going to give it just a moment. And there's going to be a little wizard that pops up. What do you want to do with this device? Whenever you plug a USB device in or USB sticks, it gives you an option to play audio music, open and explore files, review pictures. Our first option is Run Alva Explorer. So I'm going to do that. So I'm going to press Enter to run Alva Explorer. It says loading on the Braille display. And right now
Default script initialized.
we have the RealSpeak speech, and again, this is not a screen reader.
Removable disk. E. Settings. Button.
I'm going to escape.
Default script initialized. Alva Explorer. Settings.
And
Button.
so what I'm going to do is I can hit my Windows D from the Braille display.
Start. Button.
And we'll get over to our desktop.
Favorites. Set fake turn off computer.
Actually, we'll
Menu
get here.
item.
Windows D.
Desktop.
There we
My
go.
computer list item.
And so I'm going to go into my computer.
Hibernate. Button. Stand by. Turn off.
And I have multiple
Restart.
windows open here, so let's fix that. Let's go back to our desktop.
My computer list item.
So we'll go into Enter here. Open up my computer.
My document, my computer, list item. My computer, list. DVD RAM, removable, Alva Explorer, F,
Here's
list
Alva Explorer. I'm
item.
going to go into here.
Braille. List notes, list item. One quarter. Alva F, 1 year, L, Larry point, L, Lewis point, TXT, list item.
Going into
Notepad
lewis.txt.
script initialized.
Opening up.
My name is QRY. And I'm happy that you are listening to this
And
podcast.
it would be great if I could spell my name.
My name is QRY space M M
And we can change these
Y
noises too.
space N A M E space delete S
Let's go here.
Space S
here.
Space Q delete R L A A R space Y
I put an R
R
in here. I'm going to save that. And I can actually take this file.
Notes, Lewis point txt, list item.
And I could copy this off my Braille display to my computer. I could email the contents. I could do whatever I want. But I'm actually accessing the file off the Braille controller. I can go to my desktop.
Button. Desktop, my computer, list, Windows catalog, Windows update, Windows catalog, menu item, desktop, notes, lewis.txt, list item, sharing, list item.
Close this out.
Default script initialized, Alva Explorer settings, program manager, my computer, list, Windows Live Messenger, list item.
I can go to Windows Live Messenger and I can open that up.
Default script initialized. Joan Booker at Johanna, offline, Johanna dot David Grupp, Aaron D. Blasi, away, Aaron dot Diblasi, at Mentvault Solutions.
And it looks like Aaron is away.
Aaron D. Blasi,
It's not gonna stop me
conversation
from bothering him. So,
comma,
backspace over this.
backspace, A.
Actually, I want to type in grade to
backspace,
Braille.
backspace, backspace.
So I'm gonna hit space G, and it says contracted braille on. So now I can use my grade 2.
Oh.
Go back here.
Backspace. Backspace. Backspace.
Going. What you're hearing is my grade 2 back translation.
Question.
Which is probably not the best to demo, but I'm basically text chatting Aaron on Windows Live Messaging. You are part of this podcast now.
And full stop.
And I'll press enter.
Blank, blank.
And so forth. So I'm not going to mess around with Aaron too much. He's away anyway.
Windows.
I just thought that would be great to show as a demonstration.
Alva so, Explorer settings.
Alva Explorer is a very handy device. It's not a screen reader. And in fact, it's a good time for me to mention that System Access, our friends down at Saratech, have actually created their new version that's in beta right now, version 3 of System Access. And one will be able to do similar types of things by running the System Access screen reader off their Alva. So what that means, to break it down for you, is you can bring your Braille display with you to a computer without any access on it, plug it in, and have the limited utility type functionality of Alva Explorer, or you could have full screen reading access with the systematic product, the System Access product running off the Braille display. So you don't have to have a copy of JAWS or WindowEyes or any other screen reader on your PC to use your Braille display with it. You can carry your screen reader with you or your utility with you. And that's really a big deal. Again, that's where I see that modular type products like this have afford you that sort of flexibility, depending on what your tasks are. If you're trying to access somebody's PC where you need access and you don't have access, this gives you both tactual and audible access. So I just closed out Alva Explorer. And I will load a full screen reader. We'll load JAWS.
JAWS for Windows is ready. Desktop, folder view, list view, Windows Live Messenger.
And so now I have our JAWS application here. Give us a little bit more volume. I am actually going to quickly.
Start menu, favorites, favorites.
Okay, I'm doing this from the Braille display.
S, set program access and defaults. S, settings, submenu. Enter, control panel. Enter, leaving menus, start button.
I'm going to go to our control panel.
Folder view list view. S, sounds and audio devices. Enter. Sounds and audio devices properties dialog. Sound. Audio page. Default device. Combo box. Sound max. Bluetooth hands. Sound. Bluetooth. Act 4571. App. Volume. Button. Volume. App. App. Default device. Bluetooth. Act. App. App. Advanced. But. App. Default device. Combo box. Microsoft GS. Wavitable SW. App. App. About. But. App. Use only the. App. Okay. But. Enter. Control panel. Folder view. List view. Sounds and audio devices. No.
So now I'm going to reload this. And I'm going to switch over to my Alva.
Escape.
And now we have the same speech coming out of the Alva instead of the PC. This is nice, especially when you are connected via Bluetooth, because, for instance, in my home office, I might have my PC upstairs, and I could be on my front porch.
Windows Live Messenger.
And I'm going to press I.
Internet Explorer.
We're going to go on to the Internet.
Windows Internet Explorer.
And I will go on to the Internet here. And I'm actually able to access speech in Braille out of my PC up to about 150 feet away. Let's see how our web connection's doing.
Alt tab, control panel, control panel.
Close out our this again.
HTTP online, WSJ.com, home is Windows Internet Explorer, US, home, WSJ.com.
And so wallstreetjournal.com is my homepage. The nice thing I can do here is not necessarily rely specifically on screen reader commands. I can
RSS feed 14 frames, one heading and 430 links. US home WSJ com list of 5 items, bullet link home, bullet link WW.
Press my control key here. I can move around the internet by headings by pressing H.
US home WSJ com heading level 1.
I can press L for lists.
Ramping the top list of 5 items.
I can press all of my JAWS-oriented web-based commands here. There are also some other screen readers that have some similar type things going on here.
No combo boxes.
I can press C for combo boxes.
No checkboxes.
I can see that there's no checkboxes.
Enter symbol is or keyword S.
So I have a symbol. I can search for a stock. I'm going to put AMTD. Let's see how Ameritrade is doing today.
And forms mode off. Enter.
And we will tab.
Link. AMTD quote AMTD stock quote TD Ameritrade Holding Corp. Stock quote AMTD stock price. Get quote for another U.S. Simple edit.
Okay. And so we're able to do some things like I can press a space I for my insert key and then hit an enter key to hop down to my first block of non-linked text.
Enter. Forms mode on.
Let's go down this here. Let me get out of that forms mode.
Forms mode off. Enter.
And we can move...
Culture, compensation, and more. TD Ameritrade Holding Corp. AMTD. Land, NASDAQ. Land, real-time snapshot. Land, 09102008-4pm EDT. Land, 19.73.
And Ameritrade sitting at 19.73. The market's closed. There you have it. And so I'm able to scroll in Braille. I'm able to scroll percent with change. My speech
land,
in my Braille.
19.73. Land, change. Land, 0. Land, percent. Land, 1. Land, volume.
So... if I wanted to take a note, a very quick note, as I said, I could just jot on my ALVA here by hitting space N. Cell.
ALVA Explorer if dialog. This disk or device contains more than one escape. AMTD quote AMTD stock quote TD Ameri.
So I can actually take a note to myself. Cell Lions share of AMTD stock. And I can exit out of this by going up to File, going down to Exit, and saving this if I want, or what have you. And I can just jot a little note to myself, and I'm back to my computer.
3,992,740. Land, open. Land, 19.78.
And so I'm able to hop back and forth between my pen and paper on my ALVA, my virtual paper, the internet, different things like that. If I had time, I could actually interact with my cell phone and my PC at the same time, open up a notepad, a note session on my ALVA, and do three different things at one time. But I think you get the picture. I can quickly open up my desktop.
Windows D, not selected, my computer. Oh, Outlook.
Go here for Outlook.
Enter.
Open up Outlook on my computer, which we will do. And I could actually grab my mail. And again, accessing this...
Microsoft Outlook, list box, 0 items.
I'm just going to basically do a quick send and receive.
Control M, Outlook send receive progress dialog, tasks page, cancel all button, trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro, scanning incoming mail.
And so I'm able to pull down all my mail. I'm able to alt tab back to the internet.
Mail, alt shift prompt. Trend micro, scanning incoming mail. Trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro, scan PC cursor active,
837.
Trend micro, scanning incoming mail. Trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro.
I have a whole lot of mail because I've been out of my office a lot today.
Trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro, scanning incoming mail, trend micro, scanning PC cursor active, 812.
And so,
scanning incoming mail.
You've got 6 mails.
Trend micro, scanning incoming mail. Alt tab, inbox Microsoft Outlook, trend micro, alt tab, Outlook Center, alt shift tab, AMTD quote AMTD.
Go back to the internet here.
Holding Corp, stock quote AMTD, AMTD quote AMTD, stock quote TD, land, trend micro, scanning incoming mail.
I can control O.
Control O, open dialog, type the internet address of a document or folder, and it. Double. Move, period.
And I can backspace with my space B.
Period. R. Law, period. Com, enter. Get quote for another U.S. symbol edit. I Google edit edit.
And so I've got Google, and the list goes on and on. My point is I'm able to do all these different things with my preferred grade of Braille, flip back and forth between notes, multitask on my Braille display, and do it relatively independent of whatever screen reader it is I want to use. I'm using a Braille display. A Windows D brings you to your desktop regardless. A Windows E, all of your hotkeys work. I could actually unload and reload things using my keyboard here because it's a direct keyboard pass-through to my PC. It's a true U3 type device. I've got audio coming out of this, and it really affords us some great options depending on how simple or how complex our task management is. I'm going to actually kill the speakers on this here because I want to wrap things up. This has been a little bit more of a lengthier podcast than some of my other podcasts, but I think there's just a lot of things here that are worth noting. We have a device here, the Alva Braille controller, the Alva name, which has withstood the test of time. We have lots of different functionality here, from internal portable note-taking capabilities, basic note-taking, to access to a PDA cell phone, to interacting with a PC using either the Alva Explorer or a traditional type of screen reader. We have a device that allows us to store memory, copying files to and from the device for you to read on the notepad and so forth. I haven't even talked about being able to access files in your notes application on the Alva, such as reading books on this device. You've got 40 characters. You've got programs like WebBraille and Bookshare, where Bookshare.org, where you can just export, you know, BRF files to this device and actually read them. So you're able to do lots of different things with this, and it's a much more modular approach than being confined to a note taker with specific applications. You can access more devices, you can access more applications, and when those applications improve or when new applications come out, you're able to, again, ride the mainstream wave instead of playing catch up to it. So I'm excited about it. It is it's a great option that's out there. And for any questions about the Alva Braille controller and anything that I might be able to help you with, you can either phone me at area code, country code +1 216-381-8107, or you can email me at larry.lewis, L-E-W-I-S, at flying-blind.com. Again, we've covered a lot of ground here. I hope it makes a lot of sense. And if there is something that doesn't make sense, feel free to contact me, and I'm most happy to try to help it become a little bit more clear to you. The North American importer for the Alva Braille controller is VisionQ. They're one of the companies that I work quite closely with, and all repairs and things like that are not done in Holland. For those of you who live in the United States, they are done either in the United States, or if you have an Alva distributor, you know, in the UK or throughout Europe and things like that, there are local service centers through your local resellers and so forth where you can get yourself the service and cleanings and things like that you might need with any sort of Braille display. Thanks so much for your time, and thank you for listening to another edition of the iPod Technocast put on by Flying Blind LLC. Until next time, have a great start to your fall, and we'll talk to you soon.